Welcome to Moxie Bets. Happy Friday, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, we have a very special guest today, an NBA vet, to help us chat all things NBA at the halfway point of the season. The All-Star Game is this weekend. There's so many fun games and challenges to bet on, and plus we'll take a look at some NBA futures. Which teams hold the best value right now? So without further ado, let's welcome in our guest, former first rounder and eight-year NBA vet, my friend, John Henson. John, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Long time no see.
Yes, long time no see. We used to work together at MSG Networks. Obviously, you guys are still killing it over there. How's the squad doing?
Squad is good. Bets are doing a little better than usual. So
we're getting there. You know, that's what happens. The more you bet, the better you get at it. So first, before we get into betting in the All-Star weekend, I have to ask you, as someone who played for 8 years, what do you think of the season so far? Are there any teams or players that have surprised you? Like, I don't know, the Sacramento Kings?
Right. The Sacramento Kings potentially winning their division and finally ending the playoff drought. I mean, you've got like, the Warriors are struggling, which we didn't think would happen. Suns get KD, Dallas gets, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on, especially out in that West. So it's going to be a kind of a wild ride these last 20 games, especially out West.
Yeah. Well, okay. Speaking of out West, what did you think of the trade deadline? I was out at the Super Bowl and I feel like my phone was going off every 5 seconds with all the different trade deadlines. Obviously, KD and Kyrie are the biggest trades.
Right.
Who do you think won? Who do you think had the best trade? Who do you think, you know, was impacted?
If we're going to go for the big boys, we have to go Phoenix. And then if I got to go underrated team, I got to go Detroit. They got Wiseman, they got Cade Cunningham. Yeah. They essentially have four top five picks in their starting lineup. So that's a team that I under the radar that they also made some really, really good moves.
Yeah, well, I mean, you obviously were a player for a while and you've dealt with some trades. What is it like as a player and also in a locker room at this deadline when there's so many moves? Is it somber? Is it exciting? Ooh. What's it like?
Trade deadlines are probably my most memorable moments. Some of my most memorable moments, like, I mean, even this trade deadline, 50 players got traded, I believe. That means you had a 20% chance of getting traded.
Wow.
So one in five players got traded this year. So that's just to give you some context. It can happen to anybody. I was traded twice in my career. So it's a humbling feeling, but you know what? It's a job. They pay you to do it. You got to pack up and get to work.
Yeah. Do you have like anxiety the night before the deadline? Like, cause like you said, 20%, it could happen to anybody. And even the biggest players in the world end up getting traded. Do you have like anxiety the night before? Like, am I going?
Yeah. It just depends because when I was in Milwaukee, it was like out of the blue. I mean, I'm literally driving to the arena and I get a phone call. And in Cleveland, I kind of knew I was on the block and they were trying to make some moves. So Cleveland, I wasn't surprised, but it's still hard either way. And Rudy Gay kind of talked about how hard it is just sitting there like and uprooting your life, right? Just by the
well, especially somewhere like Milwaukee, you were there for 6 years, you know, maybe in the other ones you weren't there as longer, so didn't have quite the relationships, but that was your home.
Yeah, it was my home. I mean, I remember like yesterday I was riding back. I had actually had wrist surgery, so I was riding back from my new cast. We were playing the Warriors that night. My boy was landing and I was like, hey, I'm not playing here anymore. I got to go to Cleveland tomorrow. So it was, it's just one of those things. They had to pay the big boys. They had to pay Giannis. They had to pay Chris at the time, Eric Bledsoe. So we knew kind of eventually somebody was going to have to go.
Okay. Well, speaking of, you know, I'm obviously a Warriors fan and there was the whole GP2 stuff and that trade almost didn't go through because he failed his physical. And then it came out, you know, that they were forcing him to play injured and he was getting torn all. Is that we see a lot of it with the NFL and players being forced to or not. We both know former and NFL players talked to Eric Coleman about it, about some of the, you know, maybe shady things that happen with doctors and teams. Was that surprising to you about GP2 or is that just kind of forced?
It was kind of surprising, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business and, you know, it's a game and people try to cover your eyes and trick you almost. I mean, even Isaiah Thomas thing back in the day, like who knew how much they knew about his hip, right? So GP2 is lucky that the Warriors really like him, right? I don't think if it's that anybody else, I think the trade's off. So he's in a good spot and he gets to stay because it would have been awkward if everybody has to go back, which has happened before too.
Because that was a big trade. There was, what, six players, involved in it. So, and you're right. He is lucky. And we're, it's fans, team, everybody loves GP2. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get him back in and around the playoffs. And my Warriors can get to if the Warriors get to the playoffs, I'm not really worried about them if they have the health on their side. But, you know, we're kind of on the cusp right now. One thing I want to ask you, because, you know, you're a former NBA player and now you're a betting analyst. Do your friends in the league ever get mad at you about your bets? Like, let's say one night you're at MSG, you're like, you know what? Giannis doesn't have his stuff tonight. I'm taking him under on his points. Is he ever like, bro, what up?
You know, like certain guys follow me and I try not to like put stuff on there if I talk about them. It's kind of awkward a little bit. But you know, the betting is just where it is nowadays. I mean, you see it on TV. Like, you can't sit here and tell me Pat Mahomes didn't say, oh, wow, like, I was the favorite earlier. Now I'm the underdog. I mean, it's literally on everything. So I think as an athlete, I mean, I'm not playing anymore, but it's just something you kind of just got to take in and move on with your day with, you know. Don't do a Calvin Ridley, but, you know.
So. Right, exactly. I feel like it's so hard for former players that turn into analysts, because your job is to analyze the players and the game. Right. And you got to be honest, right? The viewer or your producer should never know who your buddies are, right? But then at the same time, your buddies are following you and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it could be a little bit awkward. All right, let's get into the mock thought of the day. And it's the All-Star Weekend. Unlike the NFL and their Pro Bowl, I feel like the All-Star Weekend is actually very fun to watch and a lot of good things happening. What is your favorite NBA All-Star Weekend moment or memory, either past or present?
So I'm going to take it back. My dad took me to the All-Star game in San Francisco when the Vince Carter won that dunk contest, which is like
legendary.
We were sitting behind the basket. I'll never forget. I probably was like 12. And see, that's back in the, I don't know how it is now, but that's back in the day when the players used to sit in the stands. So I remember Tony and Dice was in the stands, and Alonzo Mourning I met, who's in the stands. So that's my most memorable moment, because that literally was my introduction into like the NBA and basketball. And I kind of never looked back. So it was almost
what a better. Yeah. I was going to say, is that when you're like, yeah, I'm playing in this league. This is what I want. This is who I want to be.
Right. And who knew that dunk contest would be so legendary, right? Like, that was crazy.
Well, you know, we'll get into that. And it's just not the same as it used to be. But the fact that you were there for that is just, that's incredible. That's like watching Joe Montana or something in a Super Bowl. I would say for me, obviously, there's no way that I can up that one, because being there is amazing. But I feel like 2020, you know, the Kobe Bryant tribute was a really special one, just because like LeBron James' team all wore number 2 for Gianna, and Giannis's team wore 24 for Kobe. And it was really the first time that the NBA world and all of us could kind of mourn him together and kind of celebrate what his impact was on the game. So to me, that was kind of a special one, at least as a fan to watch, and all the players kind of coming together for that. And then, you know, in 2015 and 2016, when the Splash Brothers, you know, when both Clay and Curry were kind of at their prime and they were going head to head in those three-point contests, that was super fun. And then how about Curry in 2021 in the three-point contest, when what did he drop, like 31 points? Like, he was just ridiculous.
Right. Now, those are good times, especially when the Splash Brothers, Warriors kind of in the championship contention, the young Clay, young Steph. I mean, those are times that, you know, most of us, you're going to be playing that probably time and time. I mean, the highlights of this year's contest, you will see that contest most likely with Clay and Steph going at it. So that's fun.
It's always fun going out. And I will say 2022 is when they instituted that Elam ending. So it's like in the third period, they stop the clock, whoever the winning team is, they add 24 for Kobe points to it. Do you like that? Does it make it more fun?
Or I do. I do, because, you know, over the last few years, it's kind of funny, because I always tell people, they're like, do you still play? I'm like, I play a little bit, but if I play, this competitive like tick kicks in, and then all of a sudden I'm out there going crazy and I'm going to get hurt. Right. So I think it's the same way with All-Star. That competitive edge kicks in, and they don't care. It's All-Star game. And we've been seeing that lately, and it's actually helped the game look a little better. Whereas the NFL is still trying to figure out like how to do that. You know, so it's fun to watch now.
I agree. And what I like what the NBA does is instead of doing East and West like they used to, or what the NFL does with the AFC and the NFC, is that they just pick the captains, and then the captains get like one. The selection process is so fun. You could bet on the selection process, who's going to be the number one overall. I think LeBron has the first pick this year. And then also just the teams feel a little bit more even. It also feels more like a pickup game than, you know, just the best players from the East and the best players from the West. To me, I think it makes it more interesting to watch. Okay, we're going to take a quick break right now before we head into Capper's Corner.
The thing about Caesars Sportsbook is it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows. Caesars Palace, I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK, 467-369. Offer not available in Ohio or Maryland.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Time now for Capper's Corner. We welcome back in John Henson. All right, John, you can bet on anything these days, and certainly on the All-Star Game. So let's take a look at some of these. You got the NBA Skills Challenge. And so this year's team, you got Team Jazz. You got Team Antetokounmpo. I can't say his name. You know, Giannis, Thanas, and Alex. I got it? All right. Hell
team
yeah.
GA. We call it Team GA.
Team GA, yes, exactly. And then you've got, who's the other one? Oh, and then the rookies, of course, the rookies. What are you liking for the skills challenge? Who do you think wins this, or is a good bet?
I'm gonna probably have to go team rookies. I don't know how to get these odds, but I'm gonna have to go with the highest picked and skilled players: Paolo, Jalen Ivey, Jabari Smith. Yeah. And at plus money, I think that's a good bet. The Team GA, I think, you know, they're just there for, you know, festivity purposes. So I'm going to go to
Well, I think, yeah, the Jazz are the favorite, which, you know, makes sense. Obviously, hometown too, hometown crowd. They've got that going for them. I mean, I like the rookies too. I'm going with the fun one. I'm going with Team GA. Look, they finished in last place last year, right? So maybe narrative, right? Bounce back spot here for the brothers. And the format is slightly different this season, but they do have experience. They were in it last year. So maybe that would help them pull off the upset. And obviously they're brothers, so they've got the chemistry. And look, I agree with you that they're probably the least likely to win. But, you know, look, you got to throw a little money at something fun. So I'm going with Team GA on this one. Now, three-point contest. This is an interesting one because Curry's not in it, which I think would probably be the, you know, the biggest one because he's injured this year. And when I was trying to handicap this, it's a little bit difficult because it's complicated. They add all kinds of modifications over the year. So players, if people watching aren't familiar, players are given 70 seconds to shoot 27 balls from five different locations around the arc. Four of the five racks contain four NBA balls, and then there's also that tri-colored money ball. There's five money balls, and the players choose where they want them to be. And then there's also the starry range ball that you could get more points with. So when you look at this, you got Dame Lillard, you got Tyler Herro, you got Jason Tatum, you got a lot of big guys on here. Julius Randle, who do you like since there's no Curry here to take the 3-point challenge?
You know, I kind of look at their shooting. You know, Buddy Hield uses his legs a lot. Dame as well. Yeah. Herder as well. Harrow's a jump. I like Tyrese Halliburton. He's a set shooter. He doesn't jump a lot. He's very kind of compact in his form. So he's probably not going to get as tired as the other guys. And at plus 700, that's who I'm riding with. When I saw the list, I said Halliburton for sure because I saw how he shoots the ball. And I'm like, okay, he's a set shooter. You know, I like set shooters in this, like with Clay. Clay's kind of a set shooter. He jumps a little bit, but he's a set shooter and he did well.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, look, if it's kind of sad for me because Curry's not in it, because I feel like Curry's been making some ridiculous shots this year, and it would be fun to see if he can go over do you think anyone's going to go over 31 points, which I believe is the bar that Curry set?
You know, maybe Dame, right? Like maybe Dame. I like Halliburton to win it, but if anybody has that capability, I would say Dame. He obviously has hit the most, like, what, past 30-foot threes in league history, I guess.
Yes.
Like,
so yes.
Dame's got the highest ceiling, I would say.
That leads me into my bet. I'm going Dame time. I like Dame Lillard for this one. He's a seven-time All-Star, so he's got all the experience there. He ranks sixth in career three-pointers made among all of the active players. Obviously, Steph Curry, James Harden are at the top there. Both of those are out this year. He has participated in a three-point contest twice in his career, and he hasn't won. So I feel like he's hungry for it. And with kind of the bigger guys out, and like you said, if anybody could put up maybe these 31 or over that, I feel like it's Dame. So plus 440, some good value there. I'm going Dame time on this one. All right, the slam dunk contest. The bar is set very high with you, okay? So it's probably not that exciting for you to watch after your 12-year-old experience. But who do you see coming out of this one? You got some new faces in there this year. What are you thinking?
You know, Jericho Sims intrigues me because he has the most bounce. I mean, I think he's going to get the attention, but I don't know what he can do trick-wise. But I'm going to go Kenyon Martin Jr. He's got the size. He has the flair kind of when he dunks a little bit. If I had to pick one guy, I'm going to go Kenyon Martin Jr. You know, Matt McClung intrigues me. I'm going with the namesake.
I'm going with the short white guy. Okay. I'm going with Matt McClung. I mean, come on. Right. Like I was watching some clips of McClung from high school. Dude has been dunking for a long time and in some really showboaty, fashionable ways. So he's got the hops, right? He's got that bounce. So he could put on a show for the judges, and he is short, right? Cause he's only 6'2", which, you know, how tall are you again? You're 6'7"?
6'9".
6'9". Okay. All right. So no one's trying to dunk on you, although I know Alex Monaco tries to every once in a while. It doesn't work at him. So he's shorter, right? 6'2". But then you look at Nate the Great Robinson, who was only 5'9", and he won three times in this dunk contest. So I feel like because he's a little bit shorter, if he could get some good dunks in there, the judges might sprinkle a little extra points for him just for being a short guy. And again, the short white guy to win the dunk contest, like, I mean, it's too fun for me. So I'm taking him in this one, and I'm glad that he intrigues you as well.
It'll be easy for him to get the crowd behind him. And so if he starts doing some crazy stuff, it's going to be hard to beat him.
It's going to be hard to beat him. And hopefully they put on a good show. Okay. So now on to Sunday, it's the 72nd NBA All-Star game. Team Giannis, who's your homeboy, versus Team LeBron. And it's a little bit different this year because they're not drafting until an hour before tip-off. So it's hard to try to handicap these games. We don't know what the rosters are going to be. But if you had to choose right now, are you going with Giannis? He's at plus 105, or LeBron minus 125. Spread is two, like, favoring.
It's like the Super Bowl coin flip. It's just like you guess. I mean, LeBron has not lost yet as a captain. I'd imagine he's going to let his team know, hey, look, I'm undefeated. Let's keep it that way. Yep. So I'm going to have to go Team LeBron and minus 125. Yeah. You're not losing too much either. I'm going to go, and spread is minus, for sure, Team LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Team LeBron too. Look, he just passed the all-time leading scorer. Like you said, he's never lost in an all-star game. He has the number one pick. So you can bet on who the number one pick is going to be, not on Caesars, but on some other books. Luka's one of the favorites. A lot of people think that Kyrie Irving is going to be, you know, you didn't get him in LA, but he's going to maybe get him first on his team for all-star. Who do you think is going to go number one overall?
Ooh, I guess you got to go LeBron. If it's LeBron picking first or Giannis picking first?
LeBron's picking first. Whoa. So it could be anyone like, I don't know. Kyrie seems to be what the whispers are. Like maybe he'll take him or maybe he goes for Luka. Maybe he goes, I don't know.
Let's go LeBron takes Tatum. He's going to try to build it. I think he's going to maybe take Tatum. Like LeBron's going to try to win this thing. He's not worried about, you know, maybe going to go Tatum. I think he'll probably pick Embiid as well. I think those two are his guys that he wants to pick. But he could make – the NBA is very, you know, I'm not saying NFL is scripted, but it might be –
Are we starting this game?
Yeah, we're not going to start this. But, yeah, like I think he'll take one of those two guys. But Kyrie probably, you know, would be the fun pick if he wanted to get people, you know, riled up a little bit. So
yeah. I like Tatum. I'm with you now on that one. At first I was thinking maybe he'll pick Luka. You know, if Curry was in there, he'd pick Curry first. I feel like the last couple of years, LeBron is so happy with Steph Curry on his team. He's like, man, I don't have to go against you now. We could be on the same team. So I love that Tatum pick. I think that's kind of a sneaky one. So maybe I'll go ahead and bet that one.
Are any clutch guys in the All-Star game? He might pick one of those guys. We got to check that out.
Yeah, we got to check that out too. All right, well, it's midway point of the season, so it's always a good time to take a look at some futures. I'm sure you guys are talking about this on MSG as well. If we take a look at the East, Eastern Conference, Celtics are the favorite, plus 130. Then you've got Bucks, your former team, plus 200. Sixers, plus 450. Cavs, 1,000. As it stands right now, especially with all of the moves, I mean, Brooklyn's basically just out of it at this point for the East. Who do you think takes the East, and one, your kind of your favorite, and if there's maybe a long shot as well?
I'm probably go Celtics. There's 20 games left. They're playing really well. Mazzulla just signed a contract, you know, to become the head coach, which I love. So I'm gonna have to go Celtics to take the East. And then long shot, I guess we could go 76ers.
They're that's
super inconsistent. Yeah, they're super inconsistent, but if I had to pick someone else, it'd be them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's between the Celtics and the Bucks for me. I kind of lean Bucks just a little bit more because they weren't healthy for the whole season and they're coming back. And I do think that the best player in the East is Giannis. But I agree with you on the Sixers kind of having the most value because you've got Embiid, you've got Harden. That's a duo that can kind of make noise anywhere. Now, the only question mark with them is James Harden going to continue his reputation of being a choke artist in the playoffs? Right. If he does, then, you know, the Sixers are out. But let's say James Harden all of a sudden becomes who he is in the regular season or who we know he can be. Those two together are pretty scary.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Embiid and Harden, I mean, if you want to talk about going into the postseason, those are two guys you want on your team. When he was with the Rockets, I mean, a Chris Paul hamstring injury away from the finals, essentially game 7. So maybe hopefully that motivates him to kind of get back where he was before. But the 76ers are a dangerous team to watch for.
Yeah, well coached as well. Okay, so now let's look at the West, which I feel like the West got turned upside down. As a Warriors fan, I'm pissed. Okay, we got KD now to the Suns. You got Kyrie with the Mavs. You know who we were up against last year in the Western Conference Finals. So Suns the favorite. They were before. They still are plus 230. Then you got the Nuggets. I mean, you got the Joker. It's how do you go against that? You know, plus 350. Clippers are sneaky. Really good now, and they've been having some pretty big statement wins against the Warriors and then against the Suns, plus 575. the Grizzlies, the new bad boys, maybe the new Detroit Pistons of the NBA. Everybody kind of hates them. Plus 700. And then you got Warriors and Mavs plus 750. What do you think here?
I'm going to have to go Nuggets. I mean, we got to start giving them their due respect. I mean, they've got a potential three-time MVP. I think we have to look at them as potential championship contenders. Number one in the West, you know, the best player analytically in the West, if you want to call it. I know KD's there. But, yeah, we got to go. I got to go Nuggets. And plus 350, I don't know how the Suns keep, you know, getting these numbers and KD hasn't played yet. We don't even know how they're going to look. So that's a stay away for me until I see them play a couple games.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like we've seen so many times these huge players or these teams assembled and the chemistry isn't there. And that's one thing that the Warriors have going for them is they've had, you know, the same core players for going on 10 years now or over 10 years. And the chemistry is there and their roster is really deep. So I like the Suns, but I agree with you in the sense where we don't know what they're going to look like. It seems really scary, but you know who seemed really scary? The Nets. And that never amounted to anything. Or like the Warriors when they, or excuse me, the Lakers when they kind of assembled that team last year. For me, I'm looking at the Suns. I'm still holding out hope for the Warriors just because if they get in the playoffs and they get healthy, that is not a team that anybody wants to see. They have all the experience in the world. Their bench is deep. And it seems to me like the regular season is kind of boring to them. And then once they get into that best of seven, they're going to get you almost every single time. So, you know, just don't count them out, right? Would you agree? You just can't count the Warriors out.
You can't count them out, and I'd hate to be the Grizzlies or the Nuggets and have to see a healthy Warriors team in the first round. Like, that is not what I played this whole NBA season for, to see Steph Curry and Klay in the first round. I think that's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. They're going to end up playing some teams.
Those are teams that don't like each other either. What do you think of the Grizzlies? Have they kind of taken on the role as the Pistons were maybe in the 90s or 80s as just the most hated team and kind of physical and starting fights?
They're trying, but you know, you got to remember the bad boys won two rings, you know. So the Grizzlies got to do a little more winning before they get the respect of the bad boys. But they're trying, and you know, they're putting a target on their backs, and you know, I love that for basketball and fan purposes, but you know, when you got a motivated Warriors team coming to town and, you know, they kind of rah-rahing at them, I would leave them alone.
Don't poke the bear. Don't, because you saw what happened last year when you started poking the bear.
100%.
And it's just not what you want to do. I will say, if we're going for a long shot, and I talked about this earlier this week, and you might think I'm crazy. What about the Lakers at plus 2,000? Okay. So they got rid of some of the dead weight, right? You got rid of Westbrook, got rid of Pat Bev, which I find kind of hilarious because he was so happy to be there. You got D'Angelo Russell, you got Vanderbilt, you got Malik Beasley, you got Mo Bamba. Their depth has significantly improved on both sides of the court. Now, we don't know what the chemistry is going to be, right? Jury's still out. LeBron's having a hell of a season. If LeBron and AD can stay healthy and let's say all of these pieces that they put in place gel, I don't know, plus 2,000, it's kind of a frisky pick. What do you think?
I guess you can sprinkle, but I mean, I think the Lakers are so far behind. The Lakers are so far behind that, you know, I don't know if they can catch anyone. And if they do move up in the standings, I mean, you know, I look at it like this. You got to go probably top the Grizzlies. You're going to have to beat some of the Warriors or Clippers. Then you're going to have to probably beat someone like the Suns or the like Nuggets. So, like, it's going to be a tough road for them. But
I think they could snag a playoff spot. I think they could. I think they could get themselves into the, you know, the play-in at least.
Yeah, they look good. I mean, they finally kind of have a resemblance of a core, a team. I like D'Angelo Russell at the point guard. Vanderbilt, they're starting, which is a good defensive piece. Mo Bamba, Malik Beasley. Like, they got a team now, which is what the fan base wanted. So next year is probably going to be the year that I think they can really step up. They need a center. I don't think AD at the center full time is good for him in his health.
I know. He's such a core piece of that team. Mm-hmm. And he really stepped up this season too when LeBron was out. But yeah, he just can't seem to stay healthy. All right. So now we're going NBA championship. You like the Celtics and I can't remember. Oh, and you like the Nuggets. So when you look at this, Celtics plus 330, Suns plus 450, Bucks 475, Nuggets are 700. You know, you said you can't look past them, can't disrespect them. Warriors plus 1400. I'm still holding out hope for the Warriors. I went pretty big on them last year, but who do you think takes the whole shebang?
You know, November 22nd of 2022, I put up a Bucks future at plus 500. So I'm going to stick with the Bucks. They're rolling. They're playing well. They're finally healthy. Chris Middleton's not even playing them, you know, starting and playing all the minutes that he could play.
Yeah.
They beat Boston at home the other day. So I'm going to have to roll with the Bucks. They're looking primed to come out of the East. And the West is going to be like a Wild West shootout, essentially, right? We don't know who's going to shake out there. The Warriors could come out of there. The Nuggets could come out of there. But with the odds, people don't think the Nuggets are coming out of there. So it's going to be the West is going to be fun to watch. I think out of the East, it's between the Celtics and Bucks. And the Boston, the Bucks took them to 7 without Chris Middleton last year. So I imagine that they could probably take care of them this year.
I think so, too. And look, you played on the Bucks. You played with Giannis. What is he like? I mean, the Greek freak, he's just absolutely phenomenal. He seems just like a fun, loving, cool guy too. Is he just like a great teammate? And what was it like to play with him?
Hard worker. He's a very family oriented, big team guy, you know, just wants to win. And even with the Bucks, how they kind of do it, you know, when I was there is, hey, they want to get better every day, build good habits and get ready for the playoff. And so that's how they're doing it. And as you can see, they've won, I think, 12 in a row now, going into All-Star break. That's going to bode well for them in the playoffs. They're clicking on all cylinders.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, so now we're going to go into what we like to call Mox Locks. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have any bets for the weekend. I was at the vet all last night. Unfortunately, my dog was in the ER. I think she's going to be fine. You know, jury's still out on her, but she's home. Do you have any bets that you like for this weekend, perhaps any college bets?
Yeah, so I look for like it's the last 4 or 5 games of, you know, conference season. So I look for like motivated teams. And so that's why I'm going to go to the Big 12. It's a race between Kansas, Texas, essentially Kansas and Texas to win. So you got Baylor at Kansas. I don't know, the line hasn't out yet, but I'm assuming that's going to be a short enough line where you could kind of either play the spread or money line. Baylor beat them at home as well. So I think they'll be motivated. So I would take Kansas if the line isn't over 4.5. And then with Texas, Texas has who do they have at home? Let me see. I wrote it down. I don't even remember who they have at home. But Texas at home against Oklahoma. I'm sorry. Texas at Oklahoma has Oklahoma at home. Now, that line might be a little high, but I like them to take care of them as well because Texas and Kansas are tied, and they have the last game of the conference season against each other. So those are two games that I kind of would kind of look at, and those are two very motivated teams. They want to win the Big 12. They want to get the number one seed in the tournament. Yeah, that would be my best advice for college basketball. Look for the motivated teams.
Look for the motivated teams. Well, speaking of, obviously, it's a while, but who do you think takes the conference, the NCAA tournament this year?
I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go, you know, the top three teams like lost this week. So I'm going to have to go Alabama if I had to pick a team today. And then Houston is a top team as well. Those are my two teams that are sitting at the top of the analytics.
I love that. It's not one of the picks we always hear, like the Zags. It's like every single year, or Baylor or whatever. So Bama, that would be a fun one. All right, John, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. We win some bets here with the NBA All-Star Weekend. Right. You can catch him on MSG Networks, the Betting Exchange, and the Better Half Hour. And John, what else do you got? I mean, you're a crypto guy. I know you're doing a lot of things with crypto. I know you got the thing that you're working with Eric Coleman, with the DAO. Like, tell the people, you know, what's going on?
Right now, Bitcoin's up. And then with the lifestyle DAO thing, it's kind of like a Web3 based concierge service. So that's something I'm a part of. And, you know, we're staying down till it's time to come up in the NFT Web3 space, and it'll turn around eventually. And, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, the lifestyle DAO seems really, really cool. It's like a service that hooks you up with anything that you want: reservations, vacations, booking a yacht, booking a plane trip, whatever you need.
Whatever you want. Skydive. You want to go puppy shopping? They can set that up too. You know, so whatever you need, they got for you. It shoots you. You know, you type it in, email, they'll email you back and give you updates on what you need to do.
All right, I'm going to have to sign up for Lifestyle Dow. Okay, John Henson, again, thank you so much for coming on. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts.